I love that hymn because it takes us from the very beginning all the way through God's story, through the Old Testament movements, through the life and teachings of Jesus, and then as the Spirit leads the church forward into tomorrow. That's what we're all about. And that's actually what the Psalms are about. And that's one of the reasons I love the way it tells the God's story the way the Psalms seek to. This month, we're taking a look at the Psalms. It's that part of, if you open your Bible and just sort of split it right open to the middle, chances are you'll find the Psalms. In fact, for many of us, that's how we navigate things. And if you cut it in half, there's the Psalms. And if you cut it in half again, there's the New Testament. And it's a nice, easy way to sort of navigate your way around, other than, which also works. But the Psalms are these beautiful, powerful parts of worship and parts of life that have been a part of God's people's movement and ritual for generation upon generation upon generation, numbering into the thousands of years. Last week we took a look at Psalm 36. This week we look at Psalm 46. This one actually finds its roots, the roots of the hymn we sang found itself in Psalm 46. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that beautiful hymn by Martin Luther, finds itself rooted right in Psalm 46. The other way Psalm 46 gets a little bit of attention is because that's the place the phrase, "Be still and know that I am God," appears. A friendly, beautiful reminder that you can pull out any time. Add it to that list of short Bible verses that are worth memorizing. Be still. Know that I'm God. Simple. Meaningful. I love the Psalms because of their humanness, the way they address and tend to things. Last week we looked at what it means to struggle with the idea that there's other people living their lives differently than we're living ours, and wouldn't it be nice if they did that differently, but maybe we should live our own lives because we want to live them that way, not as a matter of comparison or competition. This week we step into a psalm of praise and thanks. This is one of the powerful tools that the Psalms offer us. They offer us praise and thanksgiving. Now, next week, we're going to look at lament. This is another thing the Psalms do. Next week, we're digging into that psalm that is so angry it never even gets to the praise. It never gets to thanks. It never even has any resolution. It's just angry, 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 and stays there. And that's going to be a deep human experience for us to talk about and reflect on. But this week, we delve into the trust and praise the people had because of that story. The story we just sang of God's presence from creation all the way through the life of the people. Hear the words of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in all trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters might roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. For God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. For the nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See what he has brought upon the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. These are the same words we opened with in our call to worship. It was the scripture. Figured it doesn't hurt to hear it a couple times. But this psalm is one of thanks and praise, and it may not always seem that way at first glance, because there's so much in there. I wanted to unpack it a little bit for a moment. This hymn opens with an acknowledgement that the world is always changing, that there is lots going on that can unsettle us. I do appreciate the dramatic imagery of the mountains shaking and the seas roaring, because sometimes life can feel like that. And in the midst of that, in the midst of all of the change and the ups and the downs and the uncertainty, the cry of thanks goes out. Thank you, God. Thank you for being a place of refuge. Thank you for being a place we can go and find ourselves and find you. What I appreciate about this is that the psalm doesn't say that God keeps things from happening. Right? That could be a pitch. We could have the prayer, "Dear God, please keep things from changing. It may not be perfect, but let's at least keep it where it is." But that's not what we find. We find the psalmist letting go of the fact that we can't control the world. The world is going to change, but God is going to be with us as it does. That's the promise. That's what we give thanks for. That God's going to be with us no matter what comes. That we can find hope in God's strength. And that naming that God is a very present help. This is one where knowing the Hebrew is actually sort of fun. And I at least know someone who knows Hebrew, so we're good. And as the scripture talks through it, the verb that's used is past tense, present tense, and future tense. When it talks about God being our help, it's God was our help, God is our help, God will be our help. This isn't just some, "Oh, thanks for what you've done." This psalm praises God for thanks for what you've done, thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for what you still are going to do. It's an acknowledgement of God's ever-present hope, strength, and refuge. And then from this global change and movement, it gets a little more at home for the people. The people who sing this know of their home in the holy city, Jerusalem. And so they speak of God being present there, that God's love and grace flows like a river in that city. Interestingly enough, no rivers in Jerusalem. There's one little creek, but officially doesn't count. I looked. It doesn't. No rivers in Jerusalem. So when they speak of the river in the holy city, it certainly is not geographical. It's metaphorical. They speak of God's justice and mercy and love flowing. But it isn't just, "Oh, God blesses something there." What's powerful about this is in naming that, they are naming that God is present with the people. This was a defining worldview. Not just God is somewhere else, but that God is with folks. We're in the city. God's in the city. In fact, I could love to see it rewritten for so many different contexts. Because let me tell you, folks on the plains know that God is on the plains. And folks on the mountain know that God is on the mountain. Folks on the coast, they know that God's on the coast. Here we are, and God is amongst us, bringing blessing and protection and new life. You got to remember, for the folks at the times the Psalms were written, water was life. There was no life without it. And so to realize that God brings life to exactly where the people are was the blessing that's given thanks. And then there's this ending about God bringing destruction. But it's not destruction of things, it's destruction of destruction. It's destruction of injustice. It's destruction of violence, that God can bring those to an end. It's funny that the psalm speaks of it as if it's already accomplished. And let me tell you, in their time, just as in ours, that was the hope. That was the hope. Because it still existed, but they knew that God was capable and that God was working in the world to bring about it. So this is our psalm today. Our psalm of thanks and trust and praise that God is our refuge and our strength. That God can bring about life in the world. And that God can make things right. And I was trying to think of a way to share and make this a little more contextual. And I decided that I might share a story with you. And it's my story. I had never associated my own life journey with this psalm. But it turns out it fits. We moved around a little bit, but I did a lot of my growing up in Nashville, Tennessee. Great place. Southern hospitality, not a myth. Wonderful folks. The interesting thing, we lived in the suburbs, and Nashville has forced busing, which means for 5th through 8th grade, I rode the bus 45 minutes each direction to get to school. I went to school in the middle of Nashville, right in the heart of the projects, in an area they wouldn't deliver pizza to after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. School for me was one of the most wonderful things because I loved learning, but one of the most horrible things because nothing else was good. I spent 5th through 8th grade coming home every single day off the bus in tears. When bullying is a very, very poignant conversation for me. Because not only have I watched it, but I've experienced it. I know all of us in all sorts of ways have experienced this, but this was a very real piece for me. Anytime I tried to be who I was told it was not welcome. Anytime I tried to share what I was excited about, I was told that was not cool. And so, each and every day on the bus, each and every day in school, I just didn't want to do anything or be anywhere. My mom would always just sort of wait by the door waiting for me to walk in, knowing I'd be in tears about what the day was like. And we'd talk. And we'd talk about how it was going to get better. And then I'd wake up and we'd do it again. So this was my reality. This was my ever-changing world with mountains shaking and seas roaring and everything being difficult. But the thing is, I was okay. Because I had a church family. Every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, and plenty of other times in between, I went to Hillcrest United Methodist Church. Nice little church over there in Antioch. And you know the funny thing about church? When I showed up, people wanted me there. You know, the amazing thing was when I was there, people told me they wanted me to be exactly who I was. In fact, when I would not be me, folks would call me on it. And I'd say, Brad, that's not you. We want you. It was the place where the brokenness could be tended to, and I could be reminded of God's love. When I read this psalm, and I hear of God being our strength and our refuge present for us, this is what that is for me. And I tell you, though I've moved and the churches have changed, that has been an ever-present reality in my life. That folks like you are how God is my refuge and strength. When life is hard, when things aren't going well, when the world tells me things aren't good enough or that I'm not good enough, or whatever that looks like, this is my hope. This is my refuge and strength. And I think about that verse about the river being present in the life and the meaning, and I think that's what this is. That's what this should be. I think about everything I'm good at in my life, everything I love. I've either learned it or shared it at church. Whether it's public speaking or singing, or even reading a profit and loss sheet. Yep, I learned accounting here at the church. And let me tell you, there's some accounting. These are things that we do together. We work together. We learn together. And when we're doing it right, we leave this place with life anew. Though it's not always perfect. I love that the psalm closes by naming that God is taking away injustice, that God is removing oppression, that God is bringing peace and justice. Because that's the reminder for all of us. It's no secret that an inclusive church is my dream for the United Methodist Church. That all people, regardless of sexual identity, country of origin, social status, gender, you name it, that every person is welcome when they walk in these doors. The church isn't there. It's not yet. But this is what we do. I've had many conversations with my wife because there are times I just reach my limit. I absolutely reach my limit and I can't do anything anymore and I'm frustrated and I'm angry. And Megan and I were having a conversation one night and she said, why does this bother you so much? Not that it's not right to be upset, but she's like, there's lots of things that could upset you, but this... And we had a conversation. And I found myself going back to these stories of church being the one place that I was told I was right. And the idea that the church would be the people telling folks that they're not is why this bothers me so much. I look at laws being passed in places like Kansas, basically reestablishing, yep, these folks, but you don't have to do anything for these folks. I think, God, I hope there's places for folks to go. Doors that will open and say, everyone's welcome here. It's my prayer that those can be our doors. It's my prayer that that can be the church's doors, because that's our job. If God is going to be an ever-present hope, a refuge, a strength, we've got to help make it that way. Because this is God active in the world. And I do trust it. And I do give thanks for it. And I think it's an important moment to stop and tell you that. Because even now that I'm not 12 years old, even now that I don't have a bus ride, there are still days that get hard. Maybe you have a few of those too. Maybe you've had one of those rough days when the mountains shake and the oceans are roaring and everything feels off and not right. This is the place. You can bring that. You can bring the uncertainty. You can bring the fear. You can bring the anger and the sadness and all of those things. Because this is a place of refuge. Because this is God's place. And we are God's people. Let us take a moment to be still and to know that. Amen.